on algos can be quite high. And for this reason, the GFXC believes that transaction cost analysis, or TCA, would benefit from greater harmonisation of data reporting. At the session on TCA later this morning, I'm sure there'll be some discussion of those challenges and how they might be overcome. The GFXC's view is that standardised information could be particularly helpful for less sophisticated clients or those with limited resources. And so recognising this, the GFXC has also published a TCA data template on its website that market participants may use. Not surprisingly, one other area where feedback pointed to a need for greater disclosure and transparency was anonymous trading. Electronic platforms used in the FX market can vary in the degrees of anonymity offered to their participants. But the more anonymous participants are allowed to be, the harder it is for users to communicate expected standards of behaviour or monitor the actual behaviour of their counterparties. The code has been amended to encourage greater disclosure by those operating anonymous platforms, and this includes operators being transparent about their data policies, such as which users they're making data available to and with what latency. Additionally, these platforms are now encouraged to clarify whether or not their users have signed up to the code. The importance of that's being placed on disclosures is consistent with the code being principles-based. Instead of narrowly prescribing very specific behaviours, the code emphasises the needs for participants to make informed choices about their interactions in the market. Clear and accessible disclosures can help participants make those decisions. Since the publication of the code back in 2017, the content of FX disclosures has generally improved. Indeed, we've been receiving more detailed disclosures from our own counterparties in recent years. Managing the increasing amount of information, however, can be a challenge. In particular, disclosures can vary considerably, both in terms of the topics that are addressed as well as the level of detail provided. The feedback that GFXC received was that many market participants faced similar challenges in accessing and evaluating information in disclosures. And so to address this, the committee has developed standardised disclosure cover sheets for liquidity providers and electronic trading platforms. And the templates for those were published earlier this week on the GFXC's website. The new cover sheets will assist liquidity providers and operators of trading platforms to meet the disclosure and transparency principles within the code. To be clear, they do not ask for any additional disclosure beyond what's already encouraged by the code. The cover sheets will simply allow market participants to see a summary of the information on key topics, with links then provided to the relevant underlying disclosures. The aim is to make it easier for participants to quickly access and then navigate those disclosures. So market participants, they're going to be able to post their cover sheets alongside their statements of commitments on a public register, further supporting accessibility of disclosure. So, two practices where disclosures are particularly important are pre-hedging and last look. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about those. As these practices can be quite contentious, they received a lot of focus from the GFXC during the review of the code. Specific principles within the code describe good practice for those using pre-hedging and last look. The GFXC's view was that the text of those principles remained appropriate. However, to meet demand for further clarity on the appropriate use of these practices, the GFXC has published guidance papers on both topics. It's important to note that the guidance papers are not part of the code. They are instead intended to be read alongside the code. For pre-hedging and last look, the code provides the framework that market participants should be using, while the guidance papers, they discuss applications of those frameworks. As with the other materials developed by the GFXC, this was done in close consultation with industry and the member FXCs. The paper on pre-hedging, it describes some of the circumstances in which pre-hedging might be used in the FX market and the controls and disclosures that could help align that activity with the code. The paper clarifies that pre-hedging should be the exception, not the norm. It's one potential way of managing large orders. As specified in the code, the key point remains that as a risk management tool, pre-hedging should be designed to benefit the client. More generally, the heightened risks around large orders means that it is especially important for liquidity providers and their clients to have clearly aligned expectations for their execution, whether pre-hedging is used or not. The guidance paper on Last Look was published this week, and it incorporates feedback received on the draft version. This was not the first time that the GFXC has sought feedback on last look practices, and the GFXC will continue to watch developments in this field to see if more work needs to be done. The guidance paper clarifies a number of important issues, though. In line with the code, the paper emphasises that where it's used, last look is only for the price and validity check and not for other purposes. To minimise the uncertainty for the client, this price and validity check should be applied without delay. Also, information about trade rejections, that should be accurately recorded so it can be shared with clients. And as with pre-hedging, clients should always be able to evaluate whether the methods of execution are meeting their needs. The GFXC has also focused on settlement. The most recent triennial survey of global FX market activity by the BIS, that suggested that the value of trades not being settled on a payment versus payment or PVP basis remained significant and may have actually been increasing as a share of total trades. The risks associated with FX settlement are potentially very significant, and so more work is being done to understand and monitor how these risks are being managed. The next BIS triennial survey in 2022, so that's next year, contained more questions on settlement methods, and many central banks, including the RBA, they'll begin to collect similar data in their regular semi-annual surveys of their local markets. Recognising the importance of this issue, the GFXC agreed that the code's guidance on settlement risk should be strengthened. The code now places greater emphasis on the use of PVP mechanisms where they're available. It also provides more detailed guidance on the appropriate management of settlement risk where PVP settlement is not used. In the local market, the AFXC's assessment is that there is a good awareness of settlement risk and how it can be mitigated, including among buy-side participants. The available data seems to suggest that this is being put into practice. But as I've mentioned, further work will be done in this area, and we should soon have better data with which to monitor industry trends. In the meantime, I'd encourage everyone to assess their settlement practices against the new text in the code. If you could move to my final slide, please. So more broadly, it's important that all market participants review the updated code and think through the implications for their own activities. This includes both sell side and buy side participants. The amendments to the code's principles, they'll affect certain parts of the market and certain types of participants more than others. For those that are most affected, a positive signal that they have aligned their practices with the updated code would be to renew their statement of commitment. But reaching this point may take a bit of time, perhaps as long as 12 months. At the Reserve Bank, we'll be asking all our FX trading counterparties to provide us with renewed statements in due course. We'll also be undertaking an internal review of our practices and publishing a refreshed statement when that process is complete. Finally, for all market participants, there's work to be done not only to enhance disclosures, but also to make good use of the information that is being disclosed. So let me finish there and hand over to Olga, I think, who's going to go through some questions.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chris, for this great speech. And thank you very much for the update on the FX Global Code. I'm sure that our audience found it very much beneficial and useful. We still have a few minutes left, so if I may ask you a few questions that we have from the audience here. So one of the questions is referring to what has been the most difficult group of market participants to sign onto the code?
Yeah, so I think it's not surprising, and I gave a hint of this at the outset, that it's the buy side that were generally slower to adopt the code than the sell side. I think there are good reasons for that. There's less regulatory pressure on them to do so, and certainly there was less need for them to sort of demonstrate that they'd responded to the earlier scandals that really prompted the work that led to the code. However, as I suggested, I think there's some good progress which has been made, and the take-up has certainly improved among the buy side, both here and globally. And I think what the three-year review process highlighted was just how important it is for the full range of market participants to be able to contribute to the maintenance of the code. So the buy side certainly benefit from the common standards of good practice being put in place globally. So the best way for them to ensure that the code remains effective standard is for them to publicly signal their adherence to the code through the statements of commitment.
Fantastic, great. Well, I have some other questions coming up here as we speak, actually, through the audience. It's one of them is talking about, again, has there been greater take up the statement of commitment by the buy side? So do we feel, are we saying that the, I guess it's something referring to what you just answered, that buy side, they're slightly more hesitant to sign up. Is that the right answer to this question, Chris?
Yeah, I think initially there was a degree of confusion about the benefit to the buy side of signing up, where it was much more obvious, I think, to those on the sell side. What we've done, though, through the activities of the GFXC is try to explain the importance of the buy side signing up to the code and getting across it, including by providing materials that shows them how those who have gone ahead of them on the buy side have sort of experienced that process. And that should help new participants sign up. I think it's really important. One of the things I often say here is to remember people on the buy side, they're here because they're typically managing someone else's money.
Right, yes.
Do that responsibly to fulfill their fiduciary duties to their own clients. It's appropriate that they follow industry standards and practices, and signing up to the code is a very good way of demonstrating that.
Fantastic, fantastic, good, good. Well, I think that's, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today, for taking this, time through the pure hectic diary, and it was a great pleasure to have you with us at this event.
No, thank you very much, Olga, and thanks to all the organisers and the sponsors, and I wish you well with the rest of your event for today.
Thank you very much.